You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I know when to let something go, but I also know when there's something here. So if I can tap into those things at the right time and put the right amount of energy and focus on it, then I know that something will come from that. It's funny looking back on all the things that I have been able to do professionally, and they've all been born out of passion, and they've all been born out of really just going for it.
The L to the Isha. Some call me Sally, others call me Sisha. If you don't like it, I'm gonna have to beat ya. Nah, I'm just kidding, y'all. Y'all, YNLL. I bet you all thought that Salisha couldn't spell, but now you know, and I got to go. Hey, it's time for the Salisha Show.
Hello, what is up? It's me, Salish. Welcome to the Salisha Show. I'm so excited to have one of my first guests right here, a childhood friend. Like, we've been friends since we were in Fresno, California, performing dinner theater together at Roger Rockus. Fresno, California, Roger Rockus.
Yeah, we need to know.
And from Fresno, we're both sitting here in New York City right now, both of us having followed our dreams. And I'm super inspired by you for so many reasons, and we will get into it. And I can't wait to talk about your involvement with Lin-Manuel. And all of the things, like Hamilton, I mean, you know, Jeez Louise. And also your brand new song, your single, This Feeling.
Yeah.
Which is going live. Mm-hmm. What's it called?
Releasing.
You're releasing.
Dropping.
You're dropping it this Friday.
This Friday.
You guys, please help me welcome my friend, Dominic Grijalva.
Everybody.
The crowd goes wild.
I can hear them. I hear them. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
Yes, it's deafening.
Can you hear them?
Yeah, I can't hear you. What'd you say?
I'm here. Oh my gosh. So seriously, like, I just listened to your song right now, and I wasn't even going to start with the song. I wanted to, like, end talking about the song, which we probably still will.
we'll do a 360.
It's fantastic.
Thank you. Sincerely, thank you.
It's great. I'm like, wait, this is the first song you've made?
Yeah. The very first one.
What's taking you so long?
I don't know. Doubt and the inability to play an instrument. That was definitely a setback for me. And then just honestly doubt. Like, I've always liked singing. I've loved singing. That was my first love. And I've always wanted to write my own music, but I've never really... I just didn't believe in myself, you know?
Well, do you play an instrument now?
I'm learning to play the piano.
And so did that... help you? Did it hold you back at all?
No. I mean, it didn't hold me back, but it's definitely something that I'm trying to do, because the way that I started the demo for this song, I have this app on my phone called, I can't remember, the name's escaping me, but basically it allows you to record videos using your voice. It'll take like four screens, and then you can record each part. You know, basically making like an a cappella video. It was really big, like
people
back in
doing
2014.
It on Instagram? Do people do that?
Yeah. So you would have like the four little windows and you do one part.
And you're like singing with yourself.
Yeah. So essentially I was putting a demo track together with just my voice, and I would be doing like the harmonies that I wanted to do. And I took a pen and like plucked out the percussion and like basically made all of the noises. And pitches and chords with either my voice or a pen, because I can't play an instrument. I couldn't, and now I'm learning. So it's going to be a lot easier now.
Wow.
But yeah.
Wait, how did this come about? told me the other day, but like.
So I am a graphic designer. I mean, that's what I do as my day job.
You guys, he's really freaking good. Okay, go on.
So I'm a professional graphic designer. I have been for under a decade now. And I've been designing for this indie record label named Indie Chameleon Inc. And they're based in New York and Seattle. They're about 5 years old. And I have been their chief design officer since inception. And last year, I mean, they found out that I can sing. And they just offhandedly were like, have you ever thought about writing your own music, your own song? Do you have any music out there? And I answered yes, yes, and no. I've always wanted to do that, but I've never really, I don't know. I guess I just like consigned myself to being a graphic designer and like that was enough for me. But in the back of my mind and in the depths of my heart and soul, I was like, yes, like I've always wanted to do this. That was my first love was music and singing. And so though I've had a lot of opportunities as a performer and a director and such, but I've never been able to like do the pop thing. And it's something that I've always wanted to venture into.
I love this. I love this because it's really good. Like, I'm happy that I didn't just listen to it and I'm like, oh, well, at least he's my friend.
Like, I guess I'll do him a favor.
Like, it is like legit.
Thank you.
And you're saying real stuff.
Yeah.
And like, we can talk about that or not talk about that later. But like, the lyrics are great. The groove is great.
Thank you.
From what I just heard from you, it's like, I have no idea how to get into this. I'm not even sure if I know how to like truly read music or play. But when you have a passion, when you have a desire for something, there is a way to make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And speaking of, you know what? I know this story and it still floors me every time is when you, and correct me, how does the story go? You like made some drawings.
Oh, the Hamilton story?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. So I was...
You're not ready for this.
Oh, boy.
This is
a graphic design story. But I was still in college. I was still going to Fresno State. And I was doing what I usually do, which is doodling and working on like...
Doodling! Wait, sorry, you don't know the end of the story? I know the end of the story. Go.
I was doodling instead of working on my homework and like my class project, which is very common for me ever since I was a kid. And I was listening to Hamilton, and I was supposed to be working on some sort of like, I think I was in wood block printing, like a printing class. That's what it was. It was printmaking class. And I was supposed to be working on my final assignment. And I came up with this idea for something that was inspired by a lyric from Hamilton, "Who lives, who dies, who tells your story." And I quickly realized it wasn't going to work for the assignment, but I said, screw it. I'm going to keep working on this anyway, because when I get hit with inspiration, I got to follow it. And that's just something that I have to do. As an artist.
Are we listening?
So I made some time and I just started fiddling around on my computer, and pretty soon I had this design that kind of looked like an eye chart, the kind that you see when you go to your eye doctor and the words get smaller as you go down.
Yes.
You know, to test your vision. And it said,
I'm always guessing at the bottom, like
yes, E, F, G,
getting
it. I don't know. I'm blind.
Me too. Okay.
Anyway, so I had the lyric, you know, descending, and it was like, who lives, who dies, who tells your story, with a little star and a speck of blood at the end. It was very dramatic. And it was just, there were like 10 levels to it. So there were like 10 rows of letters. It was a nod to the 10 dual commandments. There were a lot of like very niche references going on in this thing. And when I had it all said and done, I was like, this is really cool. Like, this is different. This is something I haven't seen anybody else do as far as like Hamilton fan art.
Right.
And I was really, really excited by that. And I sent it to a few friends and I was like, what do you think of this? Like, first, can you read it? Second, do you like it? And everybody, sure enough, was like, this is really good. And one person in particular, it was Sarah Waxman. She was like, you should send this to the theater, to the cast. Like, you know, maybe they'll thank you on Twitter or something. And I said, oh, that's a really good idea. So I did that.
Sarah gave you that idea.
She did, yeah. I never told you that?
No.
Yeah, I try and say that every time I tell the story, because it was her idea. Yeah. Because I was feeling a bit modest about it. You know, I was like, maybe I'll post it to my Instagram and it'll get a couple likes, you know, same old, same old. But she was the one that was like, no, you need to send that over there because it'll probably make an impression. And she was gassing me up. So thank you, Sarah.
Gassing up your friends.
Yes.
Can go. I'm sorry. We still have to get to the end of the story. I'm like, it can go a long way. Go.
Yeah. So I did that. And a couple months went by and I heard nothing. I think like one cast member.
But you did
was,
what? You did.
I'm sorry. I printed out 50 copies and I sent them to the Rogers, the Richard Rogers Theater. And
he sent them to the theater.
Every detail is just like huge.
Every detail is huge. And it's like a real thing. Like backstage at Beautiful, people would send us cupcakes and we're like, do we trust who sent these? Yeah. I think we do. And then we will eat them. People send stuff. The cast will see it. The cast will see it.
Sorry. Yeah.
Do-do-do. Shh. Okay, we're good. Sorry. My computer.
So the cast did see them, and I think, like, one of the cast members thanked me on Twitter, which was super cool. And I sent them in November, and the thank you started trickling in, and I thought, okay, you know, that's all I wanted. Just, that's fine.
It's like an acknowledgement that acknowledgement. You got them.
Yeah, yeah, because the reason I was doing it was because I was just, you know, farting around instead of doing my homework.
Doodling.
And doodling, yeah. And then when I had it all said and done, I was like, you know, maybe somebody will like this. I didn't expect much. I never expect much.
Okay, so you sent them in November.
And then, okay, so December.
What happened?
So then in December, I'm with my friends and we're watching a Star Wars marathon at Edwards Theater in Fresno. And we were all really excited because Lin-Manuel had written some music for the movie. I think he wrote like the new like bar scene music. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he wrote a couple tunes that were in The Force Awakens, I think. That's what it was.
That's really.
And we were like really excited when we saw his name in the credits and I like tweeted at him and I was like, "Hey, congrats on Star Wars." And then he quote tweeted it and was like, "Hey, thank you so much for those eye charts. We love them. Thank you so, so much." Yeah. And that started this very like fast-tracked like relationship between him and I on Twitter. He was already following me because I was like so much of a crazed fan already.
He was following you?
Yeah. I mean, the reason for that is because I had been following him on Twitter since I had Twitter, since he had started on Twitter. And I mean, like, I'm a fan of him going all the way back to In the Heights. So, like, anything.
In the Heights before the movie.
Before the movie.
We're talking about the Broadway.
But yeah, I mean, I was such a fan of him growing up, like, since I was 16. I mean, I remember watching him accept those Tony Awards for In the Heights. And I remember being so inspired by that. And literally turning to my friend Marissa, who I think was the person I was watching them with, and was like, I want to work with that guy. Like, he's doing something so cool, so fresh, and so different. And he's like opening the door for people like that look like me, you know, to go out there and to dream as big as they want or as they
representation can. Matters.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah, that was the first time I'd ever really truly seen that besides Selena. And I mean, she had her time and then the movie came out and that was like, you know, that was really big for me as a child. But as a teenager, seeing him on stage at the Tony Awards being celebrated for telling a story about himself and bringing his lived experience to the table and for it to be celebrated and uplifted like it was and continues to be, just, it meant the world to me. So yeah, I was sitting there being like, I want to do that. I want to be a part of that. I don't know how.
So cut to. Okay, so wait, sorry, let me just like sum up what I've gotten so far. You were doodling in class when you should have been concentrating in class.
Yeah.
You were doing what you just like to do for fun.
Yeah, what I love to do. And I was in college and also working professionally as a freelance artist. And I think at the time as a junior designer for a marketing firm, Marketing Plus in Fresno as well. So I was really
like
busy.
You're busy. You're doing, I feel like the things that we love to do, it doesn't feel like work sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like you described it as doodling. Like while you were in class. And, you know, there are people who get paid to sleep, people who get paid to do things that you would never think that they would get paid for. And
for their passion.
And it really is a testament that whatever you love to do, no matter what it is, there is a market for it somewhere. And obviously drawing and designing is a thing, like, but I love how you were just doodling in your free time. You made these, you heard some inspiration, you got an idea, you ran with the idea, like you took action once receiving the inspiration. You didn't sit on it. You did something about it. You sent it to the theater and then you let it go. That's what I, that's what it felt like. You like,
yeah, you move on.
You let it go, you moved on, and then later on you followed up.
Yeah.
Just like a gentle follow up.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's the difference for me, is like I feel confident enough to put the stuff out that I'm doing and then letting it go. But I also, I've been met with a lot of networking opportunities based on the things that I have put out into the world. And so I know when to let something go, but I also know when there's something here, you know, like there's something cooking. So if I can tap into those things at the right time and put the right amount of energy and focus on it, then I know that something will come from that. And it's funny looking back on like all the things that I have been able to do professionally, and they've all been born out of passion, and they've all been born out of, you know, really just going for it. And I think, yeah, and you have to do that.
Yes.
As you said, like when the inspiration strikes and the motivation strikes, like I've always
felt that
yeah,
inspiration,
you have to honor
by doing something about it.
Yeah, by doing something about it. And just like, I'm not somebody that likes to just, I'm not somebody that, how do I put this? If I get struck by that inspiration and that motivation, I have to act on it. Otherwise I'm going to regret it.
And it's not even going to feel good. It's going to feel uncomfortable.
It is going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to eat at me. And I think,
I feel the same way.
And I think, I know we got to finish up this story, but that's kind of how I felt about this music, you know, writing and producing my own music. It's always been kind of bubbling under the surface, and it's something that I've always really, really wanted to do. But I think I was just waiting for the right moment, and it feels like it's finally here.
It's here.
Yeah. So I want to take advantage.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
And I want to honor that.
Okay. Finishing
to
up
finish
the last
story.
Ended up working with the Hamilton Company.
But basically what ended up happening was Lin-Manuel was so taken by this piece of artwork that I did that one day he tweeted at me and was like, I need your email. I have this idea and I really want your brain involved. That's legit, like verbatim what he said, which I was like, that's such an interesting way to phrase that. But I'm in. What's the deal? And I got an email from his brother-in-law, Lewis, who was like, hey, man, I am in charge of all of Lin-Manuel's marketing and merchandising efforts, and we're going to start this new fan art-based merchandise store that's based on his work, and we want you to be the inaugural artist. And he was like saying, we were talking about this in between shows on a Sunday, and Lin-Manuel pointed to your eye chart and was like, I want this guy. And here I am. And so what ended up happening was they commissioned me to do a few sketches and
Dominic!
Based on like In the Heights and Hamilton. And I mean, that was like 5 years ago. And now I work for them full time. I'm their marketing and a product manager.
This is amazing. I'm like, here we are. I'm like so proud. I'm like Fresno people.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Truly, like,
yes.
From dinner theater to the big leagues. Like, I'm so, it's so exciting. It's like, and it's inspiring. It's just
thank
like
you
years ago wanted to work with this guy so long ago, and
yeah.
it anything is possible. I still remember looking at Carly Hughes performing at the Tony Awards singing Will You Love Me Tomorrow,
yeah,
and thinking,
yes,
like, wow, she's so beautiful, I want to do that.
Yeah,
and like, she sounded so great, but also like, maybe I could do that, and having no idea that I would be doing that show for like 5 years.
Yeah,
like,
but you I mean, in my case, I took that moment and I stored it away, and I always like referred to it, you know, on the path of my life or whatever you want to call it, because that, I think that keeps you motivated. You know, it's your dream. It's your,
yes,
passion. It's that thing that keeps you up at night because it's what you want to do more than anything. And I think, I think it's easy to forget that. It's easy to let that go. But for people like you, and maybe for people like me, it's just, we can't, you know, like,
yeah,
it keeps us up at night. It's just this thing
it's
that,
like,
drives us, you know?
What is it? I hear a lot of people saying, like, they just don't know what they want. They don't know what they want to do. And this book that I read, The Law of Attraction by Esther Hicks, and they're saying, like, our one of our biggest jobs in life is to go through each day figuring out what you want. Like, going through and weeding out when things happen that you don't like, being like, yeah, no, not that. But when things happen that you do like, being like,
almost like making like a smorgasbord of like, oh, I loved when this girl walked down the street and she was so stylish and all of us were like, who was that? I want that. Like, and just being like taking these moments and these vignettes and being like, and to figure out what you want. And once you know what you want, that's like almost the hardest part is figuring out what you want. Mm-hmm. And then once you know what you want and you're clear on what you, what it is that you have a passion for, pairing it with action, the universe, God will like do almost most of the work once you know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you set it into motion.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Yes. And that's exactly what you've done. Yeah. And I'm so excited about your song. It's called
Thank You.
This Feeling.
This Feeling.
It's going to be released this Friday.
This Feeling this Friday.
Okay. So I was listening to the song right before we started recording. Yeah. It's fantastic on so many levels.
Thank you.
Like, it's got a great beat. It's catchy. And it's deep. Is there anything that you'd like us to know about any of it?
Yeah. I mean, I got to shout out the label Indie Chameleon Inc. for giving me the opportunity to write and produce my own music. It's just been an incredible opportunity. And like I said, it's all new to me. It's just been like a dream, you know, and it's a dream come true. And so awesome. I have to thank them. And I also have to thank my writing partner on the song, Taryn Sweeney, who was also the producer. She did magic. I mean, I came in with that little video I talked to you about where I like made all of the, basically made the track with my voice and with a pen. And she took that and she fleshed it out into something so in the mindset of what I was trying to go for. And so in the mood for what I was trying to go for. So she did all of that herself. It's just like, I just think she's brilliant. And she helped me flesh out the lyrics for the song. You know, I had a hook coming into it. I had a hook. I had a chorus. I had the melody and like a couple lyrics here and there. And she really took me under her wing and showed me, you know, what songwriting is and, you know, the process of that. And she really carried me every step of the way. And I feel so, I'm just so thankful for her.
Do you think that you'll make more music?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I have about 3-4 songs that I'm working on right now. Yeah.
Same label, same team?
Same label, same-ish team.
Okay.
You know, I'm taking the initiative on lyric writing. You know, I'm studying and reading all the books that I can find. And I have a couple of really fun songs that I'm cooking up. I was just like humming one to myself on the way here.
Oh, I love that. I'm like, and part of me is wondering, like in Beautiful, the Carole King musical, Carole King is like in within the context of the show. She's like, I do music, but I'm not really good with lyrics. And like her writing partner's like, well, I do lyrics, but I'm not really good with music.
Yeah, no, that actually has crossed my mind.
Yeah.
In this whole process, it's true. It's a team sport.
So you don't have to be able to do it all.
No.
To like, you can.
No, I think collaborative. Absolutely collaborative. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, as artists, you know, it's in our nature, I think, to collaborate.
It makes me feel like it really is possible, whether it's music or anything else. It's like, if you have one piece of the puzzle, the other piece will reveal itself if you take that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's necessary, you know, to collaborate and to work with other people because they help. If you've got the right people on your team, they help you. They help bring out the best of you, and you in turn bring out the best in them. And I think that's really what's happened between Taryn and I and Robin Lai, who was the engineer on the song. He was the person that I did all the recording with. He mixed and mastered the entire track. And
this is awesome.
And I mean, you heard it for yourself. It's just from Taryn's track to Robin's mastering and mixing of all the vocals that I did. I did my own backup vocals, by the way.
You did?
Yeah.
I was like,
which was really, really fun.
Who did these backups though?
Yeah, that was all me. That was all me.
They sound
and
great.
I loved doing it. I mean, coming from theater, I'm used to singing oohs, ahs, and backup harmonies, and I love that. I don't love sitting in a chair for 4 hours and learning them, but once I know them, oh, yeah, that's my favorite. I love dissonance. I love, like, really fleshed out, grounded harmonies.
It
like,
sounds
I'm
so
a
good.
Huge
you
fan
sound
of,
great.
Thank you. I'm a huge fan of Janet Jackson in that respect. Like, the way she and her producer, is it Jimmy Jam? I want to say. Sorry to Janet if I got it wrong.
Sorry, Janet.
But whoever is coming up with the backup harmonies, like it's they're my favorite. Like I just love how soulful and full and just like there's always like some dissonance in there. And she's definitely like her style, her vocal style is something that I try and emulate. She's a huge influence on me in many regards.
That Janet's cool.
Yeah, Janet will always be cool. Like, I went to her State of the World tour a few years ago. I took my mom. Yeah, we had the time of our lives. And then, like, you know, she's got, like, so many hits. But, girl, like, she did song after song after song after song. Like, 60 songs, it felt like. Because she's just got so many. She's illustrious, you know? Like, she's got such a big-ass discography.
Wow.
And I just soak it up, like, in terms of her performance and her showmanship and her vocal ability and her harmonies, you know? Like, I take that with me in stride. And she's not the only person, you know? There's a lot of influences, and I could probably get into that on another time. But
I love that.
Anyway, all that to say, because of Taryn and Robin and Rye Armstrong, the CEO of the label, he's been very helpful to me in this. The whole team has been.
That's awesome.
And we're all friends, and, you know, so what's also really cool about this is, like, this is the first song that we all wrote, produced, and recorded, all of us together, you know?
So this is
our baby.
Together, it's like, yeah. Everyone's proud of this.
Yeah, everyone's really proud of this, and we're all really excited, and I'm just the face of it, you know? Like, I couldn't have done it without them, and so I'm really excited about what's next.
Aww.
And I think what's next is, you know, more moody songs, but also I want to do more liberating songs. I want to do some, you know, some bops that you can really dance to.
This is a bop, though. Like,
well, thank you.
It's like a perfect combination of, like, wait, these lyrics are deep.
Yeah,
but, like,
yeah.
Also, this is a bop.
Yeah, no, that's, I call it a sad twerking song.
Not a sad twerking song.
You know, when you want to groove, and maybe you want to cry too, or, like, I feel like it's a song that you can listen to when you're at the club, and, like, it's maybe, like, later in the evening when you've gotten all your zoomies out, and, you know, you're just, like, chilling with your friends, having a drink, and you're at bottle service or something, you know? Like,
yes.
I envision, like, an expensive experience, like, something that you can groove to or you can dance to. Also, you know, when you get home and maybe you're a little heartbroken or you're missing somebody, you can kind of, you know,
be in your feelings about
for
it.
A little while about it. And that's kind of the,
I
like that you get a dual use out of the song.
Dang.
Way. Yeah.
That's how I feel about the Dear Evan Hansen track. I could be like, yes, life is beautiful. I'm like, oh, I'm
yeah,
it's like
yeah.
Any kind of mood.
Yeah,
kind
it's,
of
a
music.
Multi, it's a multi-use kind of experience.
I love that. Is there anything else that you would like to share?
Thank you for having me. Oh, also, I should mention we're doing a music video.
Oh!
Yeah, that's going to come out next month. We're actually shooting it this weekend.
Oh,
and we've
gosh.
Been I've been campaigning via Kickstarter for it for the past couple of weeks. And we had quite a big sum to raise. And I'm very happy to say that we made our goal.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I
know.
Oh, my God.
I'm so excited. So to that end, what I really should be saying is thank you to everybody who donated on Kickstarter. There were about 40 people who generously contributed to the Kickstarter page. And, I mean, I literally could not be doing this without you. You know, like...
That's awesome. I'm like, I want to start a Kickstarter for my hair, for my fashion goals, for my books.
Oh,
I'm like...
Yeah, no, you totally should. I mean... There are so many people for my project. There were so many people that came out who just believed in what I've been doing. And I'm super grateful for that, because we've been in the pre-production stages for about a month now. And if I hadn't have raised that money, I don't know what I would be doing. You know, this was a real gamble that I took. And the fact that there were this many people who really believe in what I'm trying to do and want to see me succeed, it's just like, it means the world. I couldn't, dare I say I have fans? Like, it's just, that feels so weird to say, but it feels incredible at the same time. You know, I like I was saying earlier, I've had a lot of opportunity, and I have done everything in my power to make good on those opportunities and to pay them forward and to uplift and I don't know, maybe inspire the people that are back home. Like that's something that would mean a lot to me. And a lot of the people that contributed to the campaign are from home. And I think, you know, that just puts it in my head that maybe I'm...
Doing on the
doing
right
this.
Track.
I'm on the right track.
The
Feels
right
like
track.
Something's right.
That wraps another episode. Thanks for listening to The Salacia Show. See you next week, and don't be shy. If you love the show, please tell me why. Please rate, subscribe, and leave a review. Go one step further, tell a friend or two. Check out my site if you think it was the bomb. Pay a visit to SalaciaThomas.com. One last thing before I relax. Shout out Josh Carey, and thanks, Podmax.
I'm out.
Ha 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 ha.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.